Amen. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your everlasting mercy. God, this morning I ask that you just touch us, that your presence be amongst us. God, that you stir something up on us. God, that there would be hope, there would be healing, there would be restoration, God. For those who are here, God, and those who listen online, I ask that you just touch them. Lord, that you heal them. God, that you do something in their life. That God, that you do a new thing. God, that hope would be restored. Chains would be broken. They would find freedom in Christ, God. I ask that you just bless us, God. Lord, that we hear your word with clarity and understanding, God. Any distraction, anything that would keep us away, God, I ask you to take it away now. God, I ask that you just bless us, that you keep us, you watch over us this morning, and bless our time, God. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning is a little different, but I've entitled the message, The Importance of Prayer in Your Life. You know, we talk about prayer a lot, and a lot of times, not to pick on the American church here, but a lot of times, when we talk about prayer, it's very individualistic. It's about my prayer life or your prayer life. And we don't necessarily think about prayer as a community or coming together as a church or praying together as groups. And really, this, if you look at prayer, going back throughout church history, especially in the first century, prayer was a corporate thing. People, they came together, they prayed as a group, they prayed for one another and labored together in prayer. And so a lot of times when we think of prayer, now we think of prayer as a very individual thing, very focused thing. And even the title of the message is a little bit self-focused of the importance of prayer in your life. But when I'm talking about prayer, I want you to think of your own personal prayer time, but also prayer time with other believers, because there's something that you're missing in your life if you only have private prayer time and you're not praying together with other believers. And so I just was listening to someone this week, and they were saying that praise and worship, prayer is really an audience of one, that there is really one audience, and that is God. And while that is true, there's with prayer, there may be an audience of one, but it actually affects much more than one person. And so if you really keep on. All right, well, I missed it. So there's really prayer really affects three people. The first one is God. Okay. Prayer affects God. First off, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to come and talk to. And so prayer is really just a conversation, okay, between you and God. There's times it can be very formal, but there's times it can be very informal. Prayer might be a time where you are physically speaking, you are speaking out in the open publicly, but there may be a time of prayer where you're laying in your bed or you're in the middle of something and you're not praying vocally, but you're praying in your mind. And so it's just a mental aspect. So prayer takes on a lot of different shapes and forms. You know, some people will lift their hands when they're praying. Other people will kneel, they'll bow down, they'll cross their hands together and make like this prayer up, like kind of a prayer symbol. And so there's different aspects and different ways of praying. You know, praying might be you're extolling the virtues of God. You're giving God praise. You're worshiping. You're lifting him up. But there may be times in prayer that you're praying for yourself. You're praying for situations in your life that you are seeking God for some type of answer to some problem in your life, or you're seeking him on, you know, another aspect could be seeking him on behalf of the other people. And so prayer affects three people. The first one is God. The second one is prayer affects you. It's why we seek God, right? No. But prayer affects you. And so just like a husband and wife, two people who are in a relationship, or a parent and a child, you and a friend, if y'all don't communicate, you're not going to have a good relationship. And so part of prayer is this is a communication between you and God, that you are seeking God, you are building that relationship. And so, and if you think about it, people who don't talk, you talk to couples who don't talk, or people who haven't talked in a long time, they may love one another still, but they don't know, you know, if you haven't talked to someone in 10 years, there's so much that you just don't know about this person, and so much of their life that they've missed. You may love for that person and care for them and want the best for them, but if you haven't talked to them, you don't know what's going on in their life. And so the prayer is not just affecting you positive, but it's also you're worshiping God. You are lifting him up. You in your own prayer life, you're building yourself up, okay? And really the other aspect to this is, and the third one would be, is that the people that you pray for are affected by your prayers, okay? And so your prayer should never be just solely focused on you, okay? You should not show up with your list, like a Christmas list, and just say, God, I want this. God, I need that. God, solve this situation. That's really missing the heart of prayer, because that first aspect of prayer is that you should be worshiping God, lifting him up, glorifying his name. You know, you look at the Psalms and it talks about, you know, magnifying the Lord and lifting him up and these things, right? And it's okay to pray and see God and some of these problems in your life and answers, but also that we pray for other people, for those who are around us who are sick. They are not only just sick physically, you know, they have physical ailments, but they have spiritual ailments and they are far from God and they're not right. And we pray for those people that God would intervene, that the Holy Spirit would do something in their life and begin to speak to them, that God would begin to work on their mind and give them dreams and visions. And so we pray for people that God would touch them. And so these are really the three ways that you know, prayer affects the people, us, God, and the people around us. And so, and I actually don't plan on being before you long. I do want to have an extended time of prayer afterwards. I think it's one thing to teach on prayer, it's another thing to preach on prayer. That's all fine. But I think, you know, we do best, we learn by prayer, by praying, okay? And so we're going to have an extended time. But I think there's a couple important things about what we're praying that we need to remember. And so Psalm 17:6 says, I have called upon you. You will answer me, God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Here's the thing. God is the object of your prayers, okay? We don't pray to no one else, okay? There is one God and there is no other, okay? He is the Lord and he is the Lord of heaven. There's not a multitude of gods. There's not a pantheon of gods. We're not Romans, and the Romans were wrong, okay? There's not 18 different gods or 20 different gods that you can pray to. There's a God of agriculture and a God of love and then a God of friendship. No, there is one God, and he is the object of our prayers, that we call upon him, that we seek him, that he is the focus of our prayers. Even when we're praying for ourselves, or we're praying for other people, or we're praying for our community, or we're praying for our nation, or we're praying for another nation, or that God would intervene in our times and our context, that God is always the object of our prayers, that he is always the one that we are. Sometimes we just want to talk in prayer, okay? And it's almost like we're talking to ourselves. It becomes like a self-encouragement session. No. God is the one. He is the object of our prayers. We direct prayer to him because he's the one who can answer prayer, okay? If I could solve the problems in the Middle East, I would get paid a lot of money. I cannot solve the problems in the Middle East. You can't solve the problems in the Middle East. We cannot solve the problems in the Middle East, but we lift up our prayers to God, because God is the one who is able to intervene. He's the one who raises nations. He's the one who allows nations to fall. We lift our prayers to God because he can answer them. Next verse I'd like to read is Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. says, do not. And so the point here is take all of your concerns to God. So if God is the object of it, then we bring all of our concerns to him. Why? Because he is our creator. He is the creator of life. So therefore, if he's the creator of life, he is the answers of life. But it says, do not be anxious about anything. We get anxious about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We watch the news. Some of us get more anxious than others. We watch the news. We read the news. I don't know. Do people even read the news in a newspaper anymore? They must. They still do have newspapers. But I think a lot of us get news from social media. And it pops up and it, you know, and we're reading this or we're watching a video on this. We're watching someone giving their slant on it and it makes us anxious. But it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading. Okay. Some will say prayer and supplication. But prayer. Okay. And so everything by prayer and pleading. So we're not just praying, but there's a pleading. There is a fervency in our prayer that we are not just saying a prayer and walking away, but we are praying until, you know, we keep praying until God intervenes, right? And I was listening to a testimony, and this pastor, they had a daughter. She was born, had some health issues. They basically said, hey, we don't think your daughter's going to live 6 months. And he says, I just believed. He said, I believed that God gave us to her for longer than 6 months. He said that we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And he said, people said, hey, you know, he said, even pastors and denominational leaders said, hey, you know, pastor, it might be healthy if you stop praying and just accept that she may not make it. He said, nope, I'm going to keep praying that God heals her, because that's what the Bible tells me, just to keep praying and believing. If God takes her away, so be it. God can do, he's sovereign. He can do what he chooses. But he says, I'm going to pray. And he prayed and he prayed. Well, eventually 6 months became 9 months, and 12 months, 9 months became 12. Then 12 became 2 years, and 2 years became 4 years. He said, we prayed and prayed and prayed for this girl. And he said, she just was unhealthy. And he said, one day, he said, we were at a zoo. And he said, she just was not doing well. And he said, this guy next to me was like, hey, I see your daughter. Does she have this disease? He said, yeah, but, you know, no one's ever, you know, we're praying and believing that God's going to touch her. But she's been like this since she's a baby. This guy says, you know, he says, I'm just here visiting. He says, I'm a research doctor. And we just found this new way of treating this that, he says, over time, we can help bring a healing to your daughter. And he said, I was just so excited. And he said, we prayed. And he said, over the next 2 years, they did a series of things and treatments and stuff. And he said, amazingly, he said, now I have this healthy girl. She plays high school sports, and God had healed and intervened. And he said, but all these other people kept telling me, you know, for years, he said, for 12 years, they kept telling me, you know, just, you know, God has given you a long time. Just be happy with what you got. And he said, no, I knew. And he said, I was never anxious, but he brought it all to God. And, I, you know, so that's the thing. We take all of our concerns to God. Go to our next point. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. So here's the thing. We got to believe that God will answer your prayers, that will answer our prayers. Okay. So it's one thing. So we know that God is the object of our prayer, and we know that we're not to be anxious about it, and we're supposed to bring all of our concerns to God, but we have to believe that God will answer our prayers. Okay. That God will answer our prayers as individuals. He'll answer our prayers as a community. Because what are we doing if we're praying and we don't actually believe that it's going to take place? We're missing something. If we believe that he is the God of the universe, that he created heaven and earth, and that God can number the sand of the sea, number the hairs of your head, then we must believe that he answers prayer. And so when we pray, we have to believe that he answers. Okay. It would seem funny if I told you that I was praying for you and that I believe that God was going to touch your situation, but I told you that I didn't believe in it. Would you really think that was a sincere prayer? No. So we have to believe our prayers. Brings us to James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay, so when it says the effective prayer of a righteous man, it is not excluding women. So you can put that the effective prayer of a righteous woman can accomplish much. The effective prayer of a child can accomplish much. The effective prayer of the whole community can accomplish even more than what one individual does in prayer. So it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. So if you read earlier in James, he's talking about praying for the sick. But confess your sins to one another. We don't like to do that in modern society, right? And rightfully so, it makes us nervous when we tell people about our sins. We're worried about people gossiping. If someone comes and tells you about their sins, they tell you about their problems, that's between you, them, and God. No one else. You don't need to tell your girlfriend. You don't need to tell your best friend or your spouse or whoever else. You definitely don't go out on social media and make that known. That's between you, them, and God. But it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And here, in immediate context or preceding context, it's talking about physical healing, but here that there's an effect that comes on us from sin. And here it's saying, pray for one another that effect of sin will be taken off, that the spiritual effects that come with sin will be removed. But then look what it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Here's the thing, be fervent in prayer. Be fervent in prayer. Prayer cannot always be effective if it's not fervent, okay? And so God may be the object of our prayer. And we take all of our concerns to him and we believe it, but we have to be fervent in it. Just like the pastor I shared about who kept praying for his sick daughter who had this disease and they didn't think it was curable and she lived a lot longer. And he says, I believe in my very being. He said that if I wouldn't have believed, if I wouldn't have prayed, if I wouldn't have been so fervent laying it before the Lord, he says, my daughter wouldn't have lived as long as she. Is up to the point of being able to find a healing, but he said, I just knew that he was fervent in prayer. He didn't give up. He didn't stop. A lot of times we get frustrated when we feel like God isn't answering prayers, okay? And we say, why isn't God answering prayer? And the devil puts it in our mind, oh, see, God isn't answering prayer. He's not in the midst of this. And so we give up and we want to quit. But God is saying, be fervent in prayer. Don't stop praying. Keep seeking. It's like the man, it's like the story that Jesus tells, the parable of the man coming in the middle of the night, that he just kept knocking and knocking. He wore his neighbor out finally, that the neighbor would come out and do what he asked. And so the same aspect here, that we just have to be fervent in prayer. We have to keep seeking God and putting it before him. And we don't stop this until he either heals or gives an answer, or he says, hey, I'm not going to do this. Stop praying. We have to be fervent in our prayers. So here's our big idea this morning. Prayer is effective. Prayer is effective. When done right, when God is the object of our prayer, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, Jesus himself, when Jesus is the object of our prayer, it's effective. When we take those concerns to God, okay, a lot of times we don't want to take them to God. We want to figure out ourselves. That we have to believe that God, that Jesus hears our prayers and answers them, and that we must be fervent, but because prayer is effective. So here's the challenge to you as we close, make sure that you develop a lifestyle of prayer. Make sure that it's not just pray 5 minutes a day, but that you would develop a lifestyle of prayer, that you would pray over your food. Just the simple things in life you would pray over. When you're driving and someone almost hits you and they don't hit you, say a quick prayer for that. Develop a lifestyle of individual prayer, but also become part of a praying community. At our church, we have Monday evening prayer. You can come in person. You can come online. You can find a prayer group of other people where you might get together in person or on Zoom or however, and as you're getting together and you're praying and that you're seeking God. So develop a lifestyle of prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I ask that you just bless, that you keep, that you just touch, that you heal, deliver, God. Lord, I pray that prayer becomes a focus of our life. God, that our prayers would become effective. God, that you would be the object of our prayers, that we would begin to bring our concerns, our hopes, our hurts. We would bring it all to you, God, and that we would believe, God, that you touch, that you heal, that you answer prayer, and God, that we would be fervent, that we would not give up, God. Let us develop a lifestyle of prayer. Lord, I just pray this and ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.